Hey guys, one thing I want to say tonight, let's worship God, our Saviour, the faithful one. That's what we're going to hold on to. Christmas, it's upon us, isn't it? Can't avoid it. You're going to town, and I've got a question for you. How did Christmas jingles make you feel? How did Christmas jingles make you feel? When you go to town, you hear the music being piped through the stores. Do you, you kind of get excited? Yes, Christmas is coming. Do you love the decorations, the bonbons, the Secret Santas? Come on, who's gonna admit they love the party time on Christmas? Yeah, good on you. Yep, you're loving the party. Awesome. Guess what? That's not me. Sorry guys, I respect that. It's true, but it's not me. I'm the other guy. I go into the shop and I hear the Christmas jingles going on the speakers, and my stress levels start going up. I start getting annoyed, I get frustrated. And I know some of us have only just met, I think I can trust you to say that I'm like a confession right now. Don't judge me, right? Don't judge us. People say that these days. I've actually had to flee a shop and leave my shopping behind because I couldn't cope with the jingles. Does anyone, who gets that? Who's with me? It's the car. Yeah, that's right. It's, I don't know, I have issues. I get that. But today's different. When you hear Christmas playlist, I don't want you to start grinding your teeth or going, oh, party time. I want you to think something else. I want you to focus somewhere else. You see, these songs are no simple Christmas jingle dreaming about a white Christmas. Has anyone looked outside recently? Or songs about mistletoe with tinsel on trees. Today we're going to pause and take some time to think about the song Mary sang in response to something wonderful. This is the wonderful thing that she's responding to. That we have a God who is mighty, who is holy, who shows mercy, who scatters the proud, who lifts up the humble. We have a God who always keeps his word, who shows mercy. We have a God who saves. This is what Christmas is all about. When God the Eternal became one of us. Today we've had read to us the song of Mary, a song sung of the impact of what was happening finally struck home for Mary. You see, God has been silent for 400 years. After promising that God would be with them, that a greater glory was coming, there was a breath of anticipation while God's people wondered, when, how is God going to fulfill his promises of glory, of restoration, of his very own presence being fulfilled? And then God speaks. Firstly to Zechariah, and then to a young woman pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. The silence has ended. It's ended. God has spoken. And all Mary manages to say is, I'm the Lord's servant. May what everything you've said come about that you've said. Can you imagine that? God has been silent for so long. He's seen so distant. And Mary is thrust right into the middle of the action. She is the bear God's saving King into the world. No wonder she's almost speechless. But she's not frozen in fear. Straight away she acts. Look at verse 39. She quickly travels to the hill country of Judea where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. And as she walks through the door, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims, no way! It's you! Awesome! Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? God, you trusted God. And at this point, Mary lays down some song. Not just song, Jesus. It's a hymn of generation because it worships God the Saviour, the faithful one. So realizing what God's done along with Mary, we too must worship God. From verse 46, look what she says. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The mighty one has done great things. See what's happened?
Once the reality of what God is doing is struck home, she's moved to worship. The mighty one has done great things. Mary's realizing her place in the great drama of what God has planned. She is going to be the mother of God become man. Mary has a part to play in God's great salvation plan from right back in the beginning. Right back at the beginning when he was talking to the very first mother of all people, to Eve. Do you remember what God said to the serpent, the snake? I'll remind you. It's what he says. God talking to the snake said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. You see, the sin crusher has come. And it's no wonder she declares the praises of God. You see, the mighty one has done great things for her. He has made Mary an intimate part of God's family. As Elizabeth said, do you remember what she called her? The mother of my Lord. The mother of the King. God's son. Have you ever imagined winning the lottery? You do a lot of money, a big windfall, something like that. Or perhaps you had a dream about somehow being a mysterious, you had a distant family member you didn't know of who was royalty and suddenly became an inheritance to some sort of fortune. Imagine the fairy tale story of somehow you being adopted into a royal family. That'd be pretty cool, I reckon. But imagine the wealth, the prestige, the safety of being invited into the greatest royal family that it is. The divine royal family. But just a minute. We actually don't have to imagine that situation. We don't have to pretend. Why? Well, look at us. We also have a reason to worship God. Look at the end of verse 50. God's mercy is for who? Those who fear him. Alongside Mary, we can say, or can we say that the Mighty One has done great things for me? If we fear the Lord, if we love and follow the King he sent to buy us from sin and death, then we too are members of the divine royal household. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean you suddenly become divine. That would be scary on so many different levels. We don't actually become divine, but we get to share in the family of God himself. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God in faith. So does our soul have a reason to magnify the Lord? Should our spirit delight and rejoice in God? Well, yeah. This Christmas, we have all the reasons we need to join with Mary in song. We should sing along with her when she says, magnify the Lord. Rejoice, O my spirit, in God, my Saviour. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Let us worship God. God, our Savior. As we continue to read Mary's song, we kind of see more and more about who this God, our Savior, is. We first meet God, her Savior. And as children of God in Christ, we also meet God, our Savior. The thing is, sometimes I don't feel particularly saved sometimes. Sometimes her enthusiasm here seems a little bit unfounded. I mean, don't we still face troubles almost every day? That someone that we love who is sick or frail. That family gathering, that Christmas party that we know that we have to go to, and let's face it, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be hard. That work colleague or boss who delights in making our time a misery. Well, what about this drought? How long is it going to go for? When's it going to rain? Think about the jobs that are starting to be risked. Will I have work? What's going to happen to the economy? When's it going to rain? There's always something, isn't there? Now, many of you won't know this, but our family is moving away next year. We've been here for a very long time. Since 2006, this is where our family is, this is where our children have grown up, this is everything my children have known, and there's a lot of anxiety with that, but we've got to say goodbye. There's uncertainty about what house we're going to move into. Will the school be good for our children? Will they make friends? Will we? Will our house be fixed any time? Will we get tenants to rent it out? If one life is anything to go by, each one of us is living in a world which is beautiful, yes, but also broken. Work, relationships, health, we all face a world marred by sin, which affects every part of our life. And this is actually why it's wonderful to read Mary's song. This is why I'm encouraged when I hear her words. For she turns her eyes to God, our Saviour, and declares what she knows about God. And yet, have a look at what she says about God. Have a look again. We'll start with, he has performed mighty deeds. He has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty rulers. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry. He has ruined the rich. He has, have you? Really? When we read this, we can see a grand vision of God and look at ourselves and wonder, man, who is this God that you know about? I don't necessarily see all this happening. But it's what Mary believes. And even when people might think she's foolish to have this kind of confidence. Think about Mary. She's a young woman pledged to be married. And she's pregnant. And not to Joseph. She's living in a time of high unemployment, where she and her people are under the cruel rule of a Roman Empire. Corruption is rife. Traitors make themselves rich by skimming off taxes that are going to the scumbags who oppress them. And yet, so confident of who she knows God to be, that even in the simple promise of God, Mary can declare, salvation has already come. We'll begin from verse 51. What starts every phrase? He has. He has. He has. How could she be so confident in declaring God our Saviour when life is still so hard? Such a mixture of the beautiful and yet the broken. You see, Mary has come to realise that the birth of God's Son is the fulfilment of God's faithful promises. Remember what Elizabeth said from before in verse 45? Mary is blessed by God. Why? Why is she blessed by God? Because she believed that the Lord will keep his promises. Mary has absolute confidence in God. What she already knows about God in the past gives her hope in what she doesn't know about her future. We worship God our Saviour even when times are tough. Yes, even genuinely tough as they were for Mary. We worship God our Saviour because we are confident that he is the faithful one. Why should we be confident? How can we glorify the Lord? How can our spirit rejoice in God? Even when we lose a loved one. Even when work is continual frustration, when retirement is not all that we'd hoped it to be, when our friendships at school or college get complicated or difficult, when we're even frustrated with ourselves, but we need to share in the confidence that Mary has. Look with me at the end of the song, starting at verse 54. Here she reveals where her confidence comes from. Again, notice, how does she start? He has. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Why is Mary confident? She's confident because of who God is. He is the God who always keeps his word. Mary knows that God is faithful because of God's perfect record. It makes her jealous of the dad, really. God makes promises and he always keeps it. In fact, God promised Abraham that he and his elderly wife would have a son. Impossible. She was like 90. He promised that one day through Isaac, their son, that he would be the father of a great nation, living in their own land under God's good rule. He promised that after 400 years of captivity, he would call them out of slavery from Egypt. God promised that if they obeyed him, he would bless them. And if they disobeyed, he would punish. Every time God makes a promise, he keeps it. Every single time. If I was to go through all the promises God kept, it would be exhausting. But you know what? We cannot exhaust the faithfulness of God. He promised through his prophets that his glory would come, that he would be with his people, that oppressive rule of corruption, of sin would come to an end. And so as a reality of who she was to bear hit home, Mary knew the salvation of God is as good as done. What an amazing woman, eh? What an amazing woman. Sometimes I can get really focused in my own troubles. I can kind of get zoned in. It can be tempting not to trust God and do things my own way, rather than trust God and do things his way. And yet I've got a massive advantage over Mary. So do you. Mary has yet to see her son grow in perfect obedience. She has yet seen Jesus turn half a ton of water into wine. She has yet to see her crucified son raised to life. My friends, we worship God, our Savior, because he is the faithful one. In the birth of Jesus, our hope is bigger than any trial or trouble that we face. For this baby boy didn't stay a baby. He's more than that cute picture we see on Christmas cards. I mean, we can like that baby. We can think it's nice. But a baby that stays a baby is a tragedy we cannot get out of. That child grew up in stature, wisdom, and standing before people and before God. And after displaying his power over the brokenness in this world, he allowed himself to be broken for this world. He paid our debt of guilt before God. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and promised to us that he truly has conquered sin and death. And now we can know that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Mary, she didn't know how it's all going to pan out. She didn't know. But she was confident in God, and so she declared, God has performed mighty things. And what did we see? Jesus walked on water. He raised the dead. And today he transforms broken hearts and families through the power of the gospel. He has scattered the proud. And what did we see? Jesus refuted the wisdom of our self-righteous religious leaders and lawyers. And today believers live lives that witness to the goodness of God. God's children now live to please the Lord. We don't need to compromise to please our colleagues or bosses. He has brought down the mighty rulers. And what did we see? Well, Jesus looked beaten by the mighty powers of his day, those who brought him death. But Jesus has conquered the grave, and today his brothers and sisters no longer need to fear sickness and death. Instead, we have the hope of life eternal. He has lifted up a humble. And what did we see? Jesus loved the outcast, the broken, the messy, the ones that society loves to ignore. Today we no longer find our value in our status and wealth, how good looking we are, how strong we are. No, we are all valuable members of the Church of Christ. In Christ we've been raised to royalty. Each one of us is a son or daughter of God. He has filled the hungry. And what did we see? He fed thousands from a small boy's lunchbox. But more than that, he has given us the bread of eternal life. He has ruined the rich. And what did we see? We see the wealth of this world rot and decay. We no longer battle for wealth and safety at all costs. No, in Christ, we spend generously, joyfully, because in him, we're going to inherit the earth. We're stinking rich. We've got wealth to throw away. We have all that we need. We are indeed co-heirs with Christ. So yes, Mary sings the truth. God was, is, and always will be God our Saviour, who is mindful of his humble servants. He remembers to be merciful, just as he promised. Therefore, this Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. God the Son, born Jesus of Nazareth. And so when we hear those jingles at Christmas and that music being pumped over the speakers, rather than being inside to spend more or grind your teeth and run away, instead, Let's sing to Mary's beat. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. God, help us not to allow the distractions of this holiday or the hurts that we experience. May we not lose sight of just how wonderful you are. For you are mighty to save. You are God, our Saviour. You are always faithful, even when we are not. For you cannot change who you are. Help us to know deep in our bones what you've done for us. And may we give you the love, praise, and honor that you alone deserve.